Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. So today's topic is about training, and it's tips to add volume without adding time. So how do you get more work in without adding time to your workouts? And I assume that the people wanting to do this is going to be a lot of the listeners, however, also trainers. So we've had more and more feedback and emails from trainers who've asked for different topics and questions, and it's kind of cool to know that people who are helping other people are listening to the podcast. So it's kind of fun that every trainer you help, it helps a whole bunch of other people too. So it's kind of a cool trickle-down effect. So this topic was actually requested by a trainer, so I'm going to present it towards trainers. However, if you are not a trainer, you can still use this information for your workouts, so it's very helpful. Okay, so basically what the trainer asked was, they work at a facility that does 30-minute training sessions, and they were trying to figure out how to get better workouts for their clients, considering they only had 30 minutes to work with them. And they said usually what happens is, you know, the client comes in 3 to 5 minutes late, they want to talk a little bit, then at the end they have to kind of sum it up and wrap it up before the next person starts. So they really only have about 20, 25 minutes in that 30 minutes of actual work time. So they were, this trainer is actually really awesome in the sense that they actually care about trying to get their clients the best workouts ever. And also, this trainer works really hard, and I know that they have an awesome physique, and they take their training very serious. So they want to be able to give that gift of serious training to their clients, which is an awesome, awesome, awesome goal. So I love people like this, and so that's what we do in the podcast for. We're going to try to help this person out. So some examples of this, like we said, are 30-minute sessions at a facility if you're a trainer, or let's say that you work out in your lunch hour. And you only have that 1 hour. So by the time you get out of the office, you know, get to the gym or start being active, and then by the time you wrap it up and get back to the office, you might only have 30 minutes. So we actually have some people who drop by the gym, our gym, for little quick daily sessions, and that's usually what they're in and out for. So they have like 30 minutes, they're just going to kind of hit it and quit it, as they say. So the other thing we have is to... the other reason why you might want to learn these techniques on how to add more volume into your workout without adding a lot of time is if you're trying to set someone up for an intensity spike to push them towards a PR attempt. So I do this often with my strength-based clients where I try to slowly work their workload volume up, their work capacity, higher and higher and higher and higher. So that way, once I get them doing a lot, like a big base of activity, I can then narrow down and heighten the peak of that activity to maybe a new PR. So I didn't invent that. It's stolen from Louis Simmons of Westside Barbell. So he talks about it all the time about a pyramid. A pyramid is only as high as its base. So if you have somebody who's hitting some PRs, but their strength levels have kind of plateaued, one of the things you can do as a trainer is try to get them to do more work in general and then reload for a new intensity peak and try to see if you can get a PR out of them. So an example of that would be if I want somebody to maybe have a new PR on squats or deadlifts, what we'll do is I'll typically add in sled work. So if they didn't already have sled work, or if they only had a limited time frame of sled work, I'll have them drag a sled from the waist harness to get their lower body targeted better. And I'll have them do that, you know, maybe the first week they have to do that 10 minutes of intervals before we do our technique work and our percentage-based volume on deadlifts. So maybe they drag the sled for 10 minutes, and then we do technique work around 85% of their max. Then the next workout, they maybe come in, they only drag it, say, 6 minutes on the sled, and we move up to 90%. Maybe the next time they just do 2 minutes of like a hellacious sprint, so it's a higher intensity but a lower volume, we bump up to, say, 92.5, maybe even a 95% single. Then the fourth week they come in, no sled, just a good general-based warm-up, and then, boom, they jump on for a new PR. So it's kind of where you start with a lot of sled work as a pre-exhaust, but you can coincide that with a low percentage of their max, and then you invert that relationship, peaking up to a new PR. So that's one example. Another one we have is coming back from an injury. So if you have a client who's coming back from an injury, or maybe you are yourself, and you just need to kind of get your body used to work again. So like, you know, you can't do a lot. Maybe you had a knee injury, and you know you're kind of limited to only certain movements and only a certain amount of weight. But maybe you can drag that sled. So you might come in and maybe the first workout, you kind of do 20 minutes of just really low level, low intensity, dragging a sled around. And then as you get healed in that injury and you can kind of do more hardcore and heavier workloads of your regular leg exercises, maybe that sled work can reduce. Instead of 20 minutes, it's now 15, then 10, then 5, or just down to a regular general warm-up. So helping somebody get over an injury, doing low-level activities on like techniques that we're going to explain in this podcast on how you can add volume to their workout is going to help them recover and, again, rebuild that base so that way they can peak back up. So those are all the reasons. Ugh, hopefully you guys stayed with me on that one. But the reason why I went through that is so you know it's applicable for all of those reasons. Now, how do we do it? There's a couple methods that we're going to discuss in this podcast. There are also some we're not going to get to, but I want to pick some of the more obscure ones that are very meaningful and very important, but people don't often think of these ones. So, again, this is in general in relation to adding volume without adding time to their workout. So one of the things we have is to use anaerobic recovery through aerobic exercises. Whew, did you keep your brain on that one? Did you stay with me on that one? So what it is if you're doing aerobic exercises and the person's out of breath and you take really long breaks to let them recover, well, you could be doing something during those breaks. However, if you need their aerobic system to recover, you can do anaerobic activities as their active recovery. So by doing an anaerobic activity, it allows them to recover aerobically. Okay, so hopefully we kind of figured that out. So I hope I said that right. So because we have this working both ways. So we have anaerobic recovery through aerobic exercises, and we have aerobic recovery through anaerobic exercises. So let me give you some examples, and hopefully this will make sense. So if I have somebody doing heavy squats and deadlifts, and we're working on technique that day, and we do want to work on strength, but this person also has a goal of becoming aerobically fit. They also have a goal of maybe like body fat loss or body fat control. They want more than just strength. So if you do a heavy single or even double or triple, and then you're supposed to take a 5-minute break, there's really no need to sit around for 5 minutes. You might take 1 or 2 minutes discussing some kind of technique concept you want them to address on their next attempt, but you still have downtime. So an example of that would be is to have somebody push and pull a sled around. So they might do a heavy single. You'll take 1 minute to talk about a technique or something. It can be 15 seconds or 30 seconds. It doesn't mean a minute. But they do it. You talk about a concept. You have them push and pull a sled around for 3 minutes at a low weight load, just something that kind of keeps them moving, gets them a little out of breath, helps them burn some calories, and keep muscularly active. Then you'll take 30 seconds, remind them of the cue they just like tried to teach them of after the last single or the last set, and then you have them do another set. So it might be like, say, deadlift, you talk, push the sled around, talk, deadlift, talk, push the sled around, talk, deadlift. And you just make circuits like that. So rather than deadlift, talk, stand around for 3 minutes, bullshit about what you're doing that weekend, and then do the next attempt. So instead of only getting strength for their day, you can add in that aerobic activity of the sled pulls, pushes and pulls, where it's not going to take away from their strength, it's just going to keep them busy. And that helps burn more calories, helps address some of the physical other attributes like muscular endurance and muscular conditioning and stuff like that. So that's one example. Another example is maybe between bench press singles, you can have somebody mess around with battle ropes. So maybe that'll kind of keep a good heat on in their shoulders. And you can have them do a lightweight rope for maybe 30 seconds or a minute. And then kind of talk about the bench technique you want to address in the next attempt. They go and do another set of bench. You talk about the technique and do that. So again, you can see it's almost like a superset. So instead of doing the heavy lift by itself with long breaks in between, you superset something heavy with something not heavy. So that's a good way to pair it. The other way is to flip-flop those. So if your main goal is an aerobic activity, something that causes them to be out of breath a lot, So then when you take breaks, you need them to recover their breath. But you can still do something during that break. You do something that doesn't require oxygen. So, like, I've had sports-specific athletes in here before where I've helped get them scholarships and stuff. So we've worked with some football players, for example, and we might go out and run some wide receiver patterns and work on foot drills and footwork drills and body positioning awareness. We might do that for 3 to 5 minutes, and then as they're kind of getting out of breath, running around like a crazy person doing their drills, I might have them run it, like walk over, and we might do a couple variations of a box jump. Now, box jumps do require some oxygen, but they don't require a lot. So you can have them do a low level, maybe a single leg variation of a box jump. That doesn't take a lot away from them. So that works on explosivity, but it doesn't work on aerobic conditioning very well. So in between their aerobic work, you'd have them do the anaerobic or explosive style stuff. So again, it's a superset. If your main goal is something light and aerobic, you can pair with that something that's anaerobic that doesn't require oxygen. So think of it as supersets of opposing concepts. So if I'm working on something heavy, I'm going to superset it with something light. If I'm working on something light, then I'm going to superset it with something heavy, quote unquote. Or if I'm working with something aerobic based, I'm going to superset that with something anaerobic or explosive based. So that's two philosophies, two ways to kind of add more volume, more workload to your workouts. So rather than having those big, chunky, long rest periods where you're doing nothing, put something in, just make it the complete opposite of what you're actually doing from the other stuff that made you require the rest period. Okay? So another thing we have is a common thing that I work with a lot of trainers I work with online. So I do help other trainers online with programming and concerns and just how to become a better trainer overall. And one of the things we talk about is reducing exercise setup time. So if they only have 30 minutes to work with a client, we don't want to give that client an exercise that takes 8 to 10 minutes to set up, or an exercise that has a ton of warm-up sets required to it. So for example, if you have a general population client, and maybe once in a blue moon, once in a while, you can do a barbell squat or a barbell deadlift with that client. And it's good for strength development. But properly warming up for a barbell squat takes a while, so especially as somebody gets stronger. So they got to do some type of movement mobility prep. Then they got to squat the bar, maybe squat 95 pounds, 135, 185, maybe 225, and then maybe their working sets are somewhere between 225 and 275. Well, that was a lot of time to get to those working sets. So you may instead pick for more often have them do like a leg press, hack squat, maybe some type of squat-based machine. We have a belt squat in our gym. We have a bunch of other type of leg equipment. So they're still going to work on overall strength of their legs, and then maybe you can even superset that with some kind of core braced work, so that way they do get core bracing like they would with the barbell. But that stuff they can set up and get doing faster and get more done in that workout. So maybe you limit your barbell squats to once every 4 workouts or once every 8 workouts rather than every single workout. You're still going to get strength development. And again, if this is general population, they don't need to be the best technical squatter ever. We don't really care if they barbell squat 275 or 300. There's not much of a need for the difference there. So you kind of have to consider what's important for your client. So if your client's a general population, then whether they barbell squat or not doesn't matter much. You just want them squatting. You want them bracing with their core. You want them to be overall strong. So maybe you can do a goblet squat with a kettlebell or a dumbbell rather than a barbell. And that requires a little bit easier setup and warm-ups. And then also that's less teaching time as well. So you don't have to spend 30 minutes of, like, you don't have to spend an entire session just learning one exercise, and then they leave that day like, oh, I didn't really get a good workout. So there are things that we have to look at is, how long does it take an exercise to set up? How long does it take me to properly warm up for the exercise? And then how long does it take me to properly teach that exercise? So you have to make sure all three of those are kind of appropriate for your client, and make sure you're not wasting time in any of those three areas. Okay. Another idea we have is circuits with active recovery exercises. And again, this is the idea of, instead of standing around doing nothing during a break, we want to do something. So for example, in a recent workout I did chest presses and dips as kind of a superset to kill my chest, because I only had an hour in between clients, and I didn't have the full hour. I had to kind of you know, fit that in, plus some work, an email here or there, a little bit of food. It's only had about 30, 40 minutes. So I wanted to do chest press and dips to work my chest and triceps. But instead of me standing around for 2 or 3 minutes in between those, I did calf raises. So calf raises don't take away from my ability to do dumbbell chest presses or dips. So, but they kept me active, kept me burning calories, kept my body temperature up, and then also helped me work on my calves. So I can pair an unrelated muscle. So that's what we mean by active recovery exercises, is it can be an exercise that doesn't relate to what you're doing whatsoever. So I'm tiring out my chest and my triceps, and they need a break. But that doesn't mean I can't do anything. It just means I don't want to use my chest and triceps during that break. I can surely use my calves. So that's the idea, trying to pair an exercise that's unrelated to the main exercises you're doing. So I used to have clients, for example, doing bodybuilding and body shaping, and we would have maybe trying to work in a frequency, high frequency technique, where I wanted them to work on their shoulder cap. So we might want to work on shoulders 4 times a week. So how we did that would be we would put lateral raises in between some of their leg workouts. So they might do a set of like leg presses. So for example, we might have leg press where they had 2 to 3 warm-ups, then 3 working sets. Well, in between the warm-ups, they'd be doing lateral raises. Then during the working sets, maybe I let them have the break so that way they could fully recover. Then they'd all of a sudden move to the hack squat. They'd do 2 to 3 warm-ups, and then they'd have 2 to 3 working sets. Well, during those warm-up sets, we'd still do lateral raises. So we would call it a trailing superset, where you take an exercise and you trail it throughout the entire workout, and you superset it with the warm-ups of all the other exercises. That's a great way to get a lot of work in, and a great way to keep the person active and burning calories during that time frame. And then finally, the last one I want to kind of go through here is unilateral supersets. So if your goal is to make somebody stay busy throughout the entire session and burn more calories, if you have the option to separate a movement out into one arm or one limb at a time, that's probably a good idea. So if we think of this in terms of leg extensions, we can do 10 reps on one leg, then 10 reps on the other, 10 reps on one leg, then 10 reps on the other. So instead of doing 10 reps with both legs, then sitting around, and then doing 10 reps with both legs, and then sitting around, we can superset just single limbs. Now, if you're in a low, busy gym, you can superset exercises. So maybe I'll do leg extensions, leg curls, leg extensions, leg curls. But if you're in a busy gym with a lot of the clients, and I think this trainer who requested this is in a very busy gym. So if you're in a busy gym, you might not be able to jump around machine to machine. So you just stay in the machine you're in, and you jump around limb to limb to limb to limb. So one of the ways I used to do it with clients is I'd have them do 10 and 10, so 10 leg extensions on left leg, 10 on the right leg. Then we go to 9, 9, 8, 8, 7, 7, 6, 6, 5, 5, 4, 4, something like that. Or if their fatigue fell off faster, you might have to do 10, 8, 6, 4. But you try to just kind of keep them moving. You burn out the efforts on that machine, then you move to the next one and do the same. So you can do it with upper body too, just like think about like machine rows. You can do one arm row, then the other arm, then the other arm, then the other arm, and bounce back and forth. So the idea is to kind of move more throughout that time frame rather than moving both limbs and then sitting around and waiting. Now, that does reduce the overall vault-like heaviness of that exercise, but for most general population, we're not looking for that. We want them to use something heavy, but we're not trying to maximize every 10-pound increment on a leg extension. So it's okay if we keep them busy and everything's like 10% less than what it could be if they were using both limbs. So you kind of, again, have to pick what techniques apply to which clients you have. So I've had very elite-level clients who are D1 athletes that we had certain techniques that I wouldn't use and certain techniques that I did use. But then I have general population people who are just, you know, trying to be less fat. I'm not going to use some of the more elite techniques because it just beat the crap out of them for no reason whatsoever and they can't really need it. I mean, they can't do it and they don't need it. So those are some ideas. Ideas on how you can add volume to your workouts without adding time. Okay? And those are some of the more maybe obscure ones that most people don't think of. So the ones that we all kind of do think of is supersetting and rest pausing, drop sets, like regular type of intensity techniques. So they're often referred to as Wiener principles as well. So if you like that idea, those basic ones, we have a free handout for that. So you can email us at brutalirongym@gmail.com, and I have a written description of the most common kind of intensity techniques that work well in commercial gyms. So if you'd like the handout, you're welcome to email us and I'll send it to you. Also, with this person who requested this podcast, I also have a service I do with them called Ghost Writing, where I'll actually help write programming for individual clients of theirs or groups of theirs. These clients in the group of clients, so the individual clients or the group clients don't know I'm writing it. That's not the purpose. So that trainer just ran into an issue that maybe they didn't know how to address well. So I write the program for that client so that trainer can see what a good sample program would be, and then they can use the structure of that program with their clients and just kind of build on or work on their own. Their client has no clue I'm ever involved. That's what the term ghostwriting means. So if you are a personal trainer and you would like help with that, on how to fine-tune training structures or how to create better, more efficient training structures, we can help with that. And then also if you run into a specific client with maybe an injury concern you're not used to, or time constraints or equipment limitations, maybe they have an odd goal that you've never helped somebody work towards, but you don't want to lose them as a client. You want to keep them, and then also you want to expand your knowledge. Well, we do have a ghostwriting service, and that helps for that. So I never really intended to do that. From the get-go, I just had clients over the years who were trainers who started asking questions, and eventually it just kind of grew into that type of a service. So if you think that would be helpful if you're a trainer, you're welcome to reach out to us, and we'll talk about the specifics of that. Okay, cool. So learning and applying the helpful info, hopefully it's helpful, in this podcast is going to help not only your clients get better results, which is super awesome for you as a trainer, and also for you if you're not a trainer and you're just doing this for yourself. But if the clients get better results, that's going to get you better client retention as a trainer, and it's also going to increase referrals. So it's in your best interest to take care of the clients you have. Too often, trainers get looking for who's next, how do I get more and more and more. Focus on who you have. Make sure you take care of the people you have now. Get them the best results you can. Sometimes that means you have to put your foot up their butt, because they're not working hard enough, and maybe you need to reignite them and remotivate them. But if they're paying you money, you are in charge of their health and happiness journey, so you're a part of it. You are not in control. They are still in control, so it's a partnership. You are not responsible for them, but they are paying you for information and kind of accountability. So make sure you take care of the people you have, and hopefully the information in this podcast will help you do so. Cool. So if you like this information, you can find more from us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Brutal Iron Gym. Also, if you like the podcast, you can sign up to become a patron of the podcast by donating $10 or more per month to the podcast. And for your donation, we'll send you exclusive monthly content, which includes monthly training programs and extra information on training, nutrition, and mindset. And all of that is exclusive just to the patrons, just to you. If you'd like a sample of what that content is, shoot us an email at brutalirongym@gmail.com. We'll send you a sample. If you'd like to become a patron, you can do so directly on a Podbean app, or send us an email, or do a Google search for Become a Patron Brutal Iron Gym Podcast. And if you like the podcast, please share it with your family and friends. So the more people we help, the happier the world will be. If you have any questions, feedback, or suggestions, so suggestions like what we did in this podcast, I love, love, love suggestions. So if there's ever anything you want to know, please let us know, and we'll make a podcast for you, okay? The podcast is for you, so we want to know what you want to learn about. And you can reach us at our email at brutalirongym@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.